At first, I really did not like meeting my needs myself. Like when I was just like, oh, this is not gonna work. I can't get, my need met for physical affection by like, wearing comfy socks and hugging myself. Like it seemed crazy to me, but I kept on doing it. And it was really amazing. I just felt so comfortable in my skin, so grounded, so centered, so focused. That was the biggest thing because I do have ADHD. And once I met those needs and started healing, I realized how focused my attention got. I could accomplish more things. I could sit down and concentrate so much better. It was amazing.
Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I am so excited you're here. I am your co-host, Thais Gibson, along with our new special host, Mike Dizio. This is a podcast that discusses everything related to integrated attachment theory, the new attachment theory, along with the subconscious mind, relationships, communication, needs, boundaries, and so much more. Throughout this podcast, you'll see a series of episodes I upload with new information, educational tips all about how to thrive in relationships and really master your emotional state in your life, along with special guests hosted by Mike Dizio to discuss all of these amazing topics in some longer form content. Thank you so much for being here, and I really hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. My name is Mike, and I'm your host. I'm excited to bring you another amazing podcast today, and we have a guest, a special guest that I'll introduce in a moment. I'd like to just give you a little bit of background on her first. So her name is Renee Scotty, and Renee has worked as a physical therapist assistant on a variety of settings. She's a certified yoga, yoga nidra, meditation, and breathwork instructor. She's gotten to use many of the tools she's learned in an alcohol, drug, and trauma rehabilitation center. She's a certified life coach, an integrated attachment theory coach, and a specialty in ADHD coaching. Renee is passionate about empowering others to live their best life. And after overcoming many of her own struggles in her life and finding healing through the methods she shares in her programs, she's excited to share these tools with members of the Personal Development School and her coaching clients. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Renee Scotty. Hi, Renee. How are you doing today?
Hi. Hi, everyone. So great to be here with you, Mike. Thank you.
Of course. Love having you here. So Renee, just to start out, I know a lot of members of the Personal Development School will know you and know about your background, but for anyone who hasn't heard of you before, do you want to just give us a brief synopsis of your background?
Yeah, sure. So I started off working in physical therapy, like you mentioned, a physical therapist assistant, so working mainly with the body. I worked in a hospital setting and then all different areas associated with that hospital. So I got to do a variety of things, and I was in that system working with physical therapy for about 20 years or so. So it was really great, and it kind of led me to find my way to yoga. And when I found my way to yoga, then I did more of a spiritual dive into some yoga spirituality. And I also taught yoga, breathwork, meditation in the trauma center. And then it kind of led me to do more healing on a deeper mental, emotional level. And that's when I found PDS and started doing that kind of work, because something was still missing after I did the spirituality. I still felt like there was still more that could improve in my life. So that's when I found those tools and got really excited about them, became a certified life coach, and then did the attachment training theory with Thais, which was amazing. And I loved it.
Oh, that's great. That's such a wonderful background. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned, you were working with people's physical injuries for about 20 years or so. Mm-hmm. And then you've done a lot of your own inner healing work with yoga, spirituality, and things like that. I just want to know, how is working with your mental state and emotions, just as important for healing as looking at the physical aspect of needing to heal?
Yeah, such a great question. So true. Yeah, I really was really looking at things through the lens of just like the physical body and nutrition when I started out, like just feeding the body and, taking good care of the physical body. I was really missing that mental piece. And I realized through my journey that it's so important. And like you said, probably more important. They're all important, of course, all the pieces, but definitely the mental, emotional, when you don't have a stable emotional state, when you haven't worked on your different traumas that have come up in your life, it really affects you physically. So you cannot just skip that part of the mental, emotional, which I was kind of doing when I did the deep dive into the spiritual. I realized that there was still so much more that I needed to work on. I needed to go into and find the root cause of why I was feeling the way I was feeling. So yeah, so when I did yoga therapy, it kind of brought those two worlds together for me, like realizing that a lot of things are caused by your mental state and your emotional state.
I've had periods in my life where sort of phantom injuries pop up, and coincidentally, it's during the periods where I'm having the most problems or sort of situations going on in the background. So, and that's really neat how like the trauma centers and the rehab centers, were they open right away to you sort of using these sort of alternative therapies? Were they open to it, or did you have to sort of sell them on it first?
Yeah, no, I was very lucky. Like I had some other people that kind of paved the way for that. Like, and a lot of the people that worked there were therapists that had sort of a spiritual background in yoga and had already been bringing that into their practice. And the center was kind of known for that, like to do that, the healing on all the different levels. So it was so nice. I could just bring in what I knew, and it was ready for it. So the clients were ready for that.
Wow, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you a little more. Like, I want to know, like, what was the catalyst in your own life that sort of opened you up to your own personal healing journey? Was there like a rock bottom moment? Was there a situation that happened, or a moment where like you just had enough and you know you needed to make changes? What was it that really like propelled you to sort of dive into your own personal healing journey?
Yeah, such a great question. For me, what really brought me to go deeper was I was a AP, anxious, preoccupied, definitely. So I had a lot of pain, like my relationships were very painful when they didn't work out. And so that the catalyst that brought me to first find PDS. I had a friend that recommended it to me. I think she shared a video with me. And then I started realizing, wow, this is the work that I need to do. This is the missing piece. And this is where I need to go next, because yeah, there was so much pain after a breakup.
Right. So it was sort of like a pattern of things. It wasn't just one relationship. It was sort of the same types of things were happening over and over. And you were like, okay.
Yeah, it was like a pattern in the relationship that I would get so lost. Like after the breakup, I would just really lose myself in the relationship. And then afterwards, it would take me such a long time to come back to where I could feel balanced, because I would just put everything into my partner. Like that was the most important thing to me, being an AP.
Right.
All my attention was focused on my partner, not myself. And so I didn't really have a strong self-identity, and I didn't really realize it. So that's where all the pain was coming from. So when I started realizing that was the root cause of all these unstable emotions that I would feel and not feeling comfortable in my own skin, then that's what led me to really do the work to try to come back to have a strong self-identity, to feel good no matter what was happening in my life, and to feel just grounded, centered, and know myself really well.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, you touch on that sense of loss. Like I know for anxious preoccupieds, so much of the seven areas of life are tied into relationship. Like relationship is literally top of the list in like all the areas of their life. So you're sort of arranging your life all around this other person. So once that's gone, it's almost like your identity's gone, or you almost feel lost, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But I know later on we're going to talk about how you sort of overcame that and conquered that. And I'm looking forward to hearing that. Okay. So I know you've been a member of the Personal Development School for over 2 years now. Do you remember when you first heard about attachment theory? I know attachment theory now is like pretty big now in the last couple of years, but did you hear about it a long time ago, or was that something that you just heard of when you joined Personal Development School?
Yeah, you know, I had heard of it before, but it was never presented to me in the way that Thais presents it. Like she presents it as something that you can really heal and you can change your life when you learn how to heal these things, like the wounds that happened in childhood. She gives you a way out, like a stepping ladder to step out of your pain. And I had never seen it like that before. So I didn't really think there was anything you could do about it. I was like, oh yeah, I have this anxious, preoccupied attachment. I'm just stuck with it forever, is the impression that I had when I'd seen work on it before. So when I saw her videos and started becoming a member of the school, then it gave me a lot of hope. So I was like, oh wow, I can really heal these wounds and I can get better and I can feel more centered and grounded and have a better life.
Oh, that's really great. So you mentioned already you were anxious, preoccupied, attachment style. What would you say is the hardest thing about being anxious, preoccupied when you were at your sort of most unhealed moment?
Yeah, it's just I felt like I didn't really know myself. Like everything was based on the outside and based on my partner. How my partner was feeling was the most important. I didn't really have my own individual identity. I was always concerned on the outside and my partner. So because you're dependent on the outside, you're never feeling like centered and just comfortable. You're always like watching on the outside to see how things are, to see if that's okay, then maybe I can be okay. If my partner's doing well, if everything's going well outside of me with friends, family, partner, then I can be okay. Otherwise, then I don't feel okay.
Yeah. Wow. That's tough. So you're almost like, you know, a bit worried about abandonment, but then you're abandoning yourself in the process.
Absolutely. That was the biggest thing I learned. Yeah. You're always abandoning yourself.
Right. Right. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. So we were saying, yeah, what the hardest parts are. How is attachment theory, now that you dove into it, you've done healing and you're more on the secure side of things, how have things sort of changed for you? Let's start with the inner. What changed on the inner? And then I'll ask you about on the outer with relationships and whatnot.
Sure. Yeah. So the inner, it was amazing. I think the thing that made the biggest difference was me learning about myself, learning my own needs and what makes me happy, my personality needs. So I did a deep dive into that. And at first, I really did not like meeting my needs myself. Like when I was just like, oh, this is not going to work. I can't get, you know, my need met for physical affection by, like, you know, wearing comfy socks and hugging myself. Like it seemed crazy to me,
right?
But I kept on doing it. I kept on trying to find the things that would meet comfort needs and learned how to rely on myself to fill those buckets up for a lot of those needs for connection. And by connecting to myself, by journaling, as I started doing those things over time, it kind of snuck up on me one day. It seemed like I was doing it and doing it and doing it, you know, still hoping for things on the outside, but trying to really keep my attention inward. And then I just started feeling more and more comfortable by myself. And it was really amazing. I just felt so comfortable in my skin, so grounded, so centered, so focused. That was the biggest thing, because I do have ADHD and I coach with a lot of people with ADHD, and my attention was always so scattered. And once I met those needs and started healing, I realized how focused my attention got. I could accomplish more things. I could sit down and concentrate so much better. It was amazing. It's the best I've ever felt, was after doing all of that work, especially with the needs.
Wow.
And then being kinder, you know, the kinder self-talk. Like instead of always being so hard on myself, I started talking to my inner voice, being a lot kinder.
Right. That's amazing. And I love how, like, yes, obviously, you know, we would want someone to be there and connect with someone to feel maybe physical touch or feel affection or closeness or whatnot. But I like how you touched on, there is ways to meet those needs, or at least meet them halfway. Like there's no substitute probably for, you know, hugging someone you love and having somebody say these nice things to you. But if that's your only source of getting those things, again, you're in a pretty sort of disadvantageous position because you're so worried about losing that.
Right. But
at least if you have these sort of methods and tools, you can at least meet your needs halfway. And it's almost like, you know, you could put a little bit of gas in your car. You're not just running on empty. So you
right.
can meet some of your needs. You have some gas in the car. You can kind of keep things going and not be really distracted and you know, worried about, oh, how am I going to get these needs met? And I like how you sort of shared how it shifted. It wasn't at first you were like, probably this is crazy. Like, you know, I can't do this on my own. This isn't, you know, natural. But it's really inspiring to hear that after a while there is a shift, and
yeah,
you can sort of feel that love for yourself and give yourself what you need. It doesn't always have to be from the outside.
Right. Yeah, that was the most amazing part. Like, you know, I always thought I did care about myself, but I did not have that deep self-love until I started, because you don't even know yourself. So,
right,
you know,
right.
How can you love what's there? You got to really connect with it first, and then you can really have that deep love. And yeah, and the other person feels it too. Like when you're already centered and you feel good, and it's not like you're trying to pull it from other people so you can feel good, they sense that.
Right.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on the relationship, would you say? Because
yeah,
sensing like a bit of panic, or you know,
yeah.
You have to always worry that the other person's not feeling bad, or maybe misinterpreting that they're going to leave when really they're not going to leave.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine on both sides it can be challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you're not always fearing that abandonment at a deep level like that anymore.
For sure. Yeah, that's great. And then as I mentioned, just curious how your external relationships have now changed, whether it's friendships, families, romantic relationships. So what's been the shift there?
Yeah. So the shift there is definitely not looking to the outside for someone to fulfill me, because I feel like I already have that fulfillment. So it just makes things a lot easier. And like you said, when you're dating, like the other person doesn't feel that pressure that, you know, they have to meet your needs. Like I'm not putting that on them anymore. Like I know that I can meet those myself. So I'm not seeking it so much on the outside. And same thing with friends. Like if they show up, great. If they don't show up all the time or something comes up, I'm not dependent on that. So it's just a feeling of just it's ease and comfort really in life. Everything just became like a more easeful flow.
That's amazing. You mentioned the word dependent. Like, yeah, if you are dependent on someone else for those things, you know, let's say you're dating or whatnot, you're probably going to put up with a lot more things than you should. You know what I mean? Like,
definitely.
If you're more in a secure place, you know, if somebody did something that was really like just out of line or not, you know, disrespecting you or whatever. But if you're, you know, super, super anxious and you just really need connection and it's, you're dependent on it, then you'll probably let a lot more things slide and for a lot longer than you should in relationships. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. You put up with a lot more. And now it's like, oh, if you can't meet these needs, then, you know, maybe you're not the right person. And you feel you don't feel like you just have to make it work. Like you latch onto someone and then no matter what's going on, you have to make it work. And I used to feel that way before.
Right.
Like once I was attracted to the person, I would be like, oh, well, this is what I have to work with. Like I didn't ever vet people.
Right.
Like I didn't see if they were a fit for me. It was just like, okay, this is what I have to work with. I have to sacrifice and do what I need to do to get my needs met and to meet their needs. And so, yeah, that thought process is not even there at all anymore.
Wow. And I imagine, yeah, that would go for friendships as well.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. Yeah.
New people that come into your life, you can be a lot more selective and be like, okay, is this person good for me overall? Do I feel good in their presence? How do they make me feel? And you don't just have to sort of, you know, let everybody come into your life and then have to sort of deal with some not so great behavior.
Yeah, that's so true. Even with friends too, like there were some, like as I was healing, some friendships that I realized were a little more one-sided because I used to do a lot of people pleasing, being an anxious, preoccupied. And so, yeah, once I stopped that, I started realizing, yeah, some of these relationships are really not serving me anymore. And so I took a step back from all of those that weren't healthy. And so to make room for more healthy relationships, and that's felt really good.
That's so wonderful. I laugh because I used to be the people pleasing master and I would always be like just so sucked of energy. And it's like,
yes,
giving all the time. And even in the sense for me, one of my biggest needs is like emotional connection. So like having deep, really deep, meaningful conversations perks me up and makes me happy and feel fulfilled. But I would have some people around me who were into just like sports or just like other topics that I had no interest in. But I was so concerned with them like liking me that I would just talk about what they wanted to talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. I would want to go places that they would want to go all the time. So I was using a lot of energy doing things that were not in alignment with me and what I love and what makes me feel good. But it wasn't until sort of doing some work and dropping those people-pleasing habits that now I just, you know, choose the things that make me feel good, do the things that make me feel good. Every once in a while, you have to do stuff that maybe you don't love. But for the most part, the people-pleasing's gone out the window, which is good. And
yeah.
I'm glad yours has as well, because I know it can be quite.
I can so relate to that too. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like you waste so much energy and all these things that, you know, are not in alignment with you.
I just wanted to pop in here and let you know we are doing a 7-day free trial to the All Access Membership Pass at PDS, which means you get access to literally everything inside of the school. And this includes the 4 live webinars I do with our students every single week. And on top of that, you get access to all of our different courses. We have over 55 different courses on relationships, communication, boundaries, emotional mastery, guilt and shame, learning your needs, so many different facets that are really important to master our lives and feel really good about our lives going forward. And last but not least, there's a daily community event. We have trained facilitators and coaches who are in there doing that work, showing up to support you on your journey every single day. Please join me on the other side. Come check it out. See if it's a fit for you. I'd love to see you there. Go ahead and sign up by clicking the link in the description box below.
So within Personal Development School, we mentioned you've been there for a couple of years now, at least. You've done the integrated attachment theory training. Let's say in the school, what was like one of the biggest tools that sort of helped you within the school?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's so many tools that I love from the school. I love the emotional processing tool for sure. That one's great. I mentioned the needs course was so valuable for me to just get in tune with myself. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I use a lot of the tools. I like using the cost benefit. I love using that with clients too. I think it's a great thing to use with clients. And yeah, those are the main ones I would say. And then I just love doing all the exercises that Thais has laid out, like a lot of the ones in Emotional Mastery are great.
You mentioned cost
somatic
benefit. Somatic processing. Yeah,
yeah. That's a big one for me too. Somatic processing really helped me get in tune with the body.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to mention it later, but I might as well mention it now. But I know somatic processing and a lot of body and inner sensation work you do and within the school. So twice a week, I know you're hosting the emotional resilience routine. Do you want to touch on that? What's emotional resilience routine? And like, if somebody were to come to that routine, what could they expect?
Yes. Yeah. So I love that. So yeah, the emotional resilience routine is a routine that's just showing you how to balance your nervous system. We want to have the ability to get back to a place that's emotionally regulated and balanced. So it's normal for our nervous system sometimes to go into different states. We get dysregulated, we get into fight or flight, freeze or fawn. But what we want to do is build up the place where we've widened the window of tolerance, which is the place where you feel good, where your nervous system is balanced. We want to widen that area so much that when you do get off balance, you have a pathway to get back on balance pretty quickly. So you don't want to get stuck in those trauma states of fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. We want to have a way to get back out and get rebalanced so that we can mostly live from that state. So, and so I do a lot of tools, a little bit of teaching, and then we always do an experience. So how can you experientially do these things and bring this kind of work into your life so that you can expand that window of tolerance, that place where you feel good, you feel in control, you can handle challenges, you feel like you want to engage socially, you want to be in that best place. And so the tools are to help you get back there and build that area so that you're able to get back there whenever you get dysregulated.
I love that. And I love how the idea is not like, okay, if you meditate every day or do these tools every day, everything's going to be perfect all the time.
Right.
Nope. You know, life throws things at you, you know, you get cut off in traffic or your coworker says something you don't love, whatever it may be. There's always going to be sort of things that come at you in life, but sort of expanding this window of tolerance makes it where you don't get so dysregulated or so triggered that you can't even really like, it's hard to really operate in that moment. And you might be, you know, upset or bothered by it all day, but if you can increase this window of tolerance, is the idea that you're just going to have so much more emotional bandwidth or clarity to deal with situations that are, you know, hard by nature.
Yeah, it's like a resetting of your subconscious comfort zone too. And then you're going to start to notice when you enter the dysregulation or feeling uncomfortable before it becomes like a bigger response, like more of a fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. When you get just a little out of balance, you're going to notice it more quickly and be able to get back in balance. Once you have that window widened, you're going to just be able to be more in tune with yourself.
Right, right. Okay. I like to ask guests about sort of what they're doing on a micro level, sort of daily things that keep them in a good place, in hopes of inspiring people out there to be like, wow, I want to try that. Or that would be a really good habit to do every day. So I just wanted to know, let's start with rituals. Like, are there any sort of non-negotiable rituals that you do every day that keeps you in a really good place?
Yeah, definitely. So my one non-negotiable that I do every day, every morning when I wake up and every evening before I go to bed is I always meditate and I do some prayers. So I do that first thing when I wake up and I do that last thing before I go to bed. The other things like I vary, but that's one thing that I always do. And it makes me feel it's a great way to start the day. It makes me feel very balanced.
In personal development world, self-care is a big part. People say you need to do self-care. So I'm just curious, what does self-care look like for Renee?
Yeah, for me, it looks like knowing my needs, checking in with myself regularly, and really just knowing what my needs are and then honoring those needs. So that's been huge. That's been a big, big difference in my life. I never had any clue I even had any needs.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Like from the time you woke up to the time you went to bed, you were literally like externally focused.
Absolutely.
Not everyone's checking in to be like, how do I feel right now? What do I need right now?
Right.
Wow. You can imagine that would be tough because our body's sending us signals all the time and trying to get our attention when we need certain things. But if you're just ignoring that and being like, oh, be quiet, body, like I got to pay attention to what's going on out here, that's probably going to cause some problems internally eventually.
Right, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting because even when I was living at the yoga center and doing the yoga and the meditation, there still wasn't the awareness to check in all throughout the day. It was like, okay, when it's yoga time, I'm focused, I'm dropped in, I'm in a good calm space. But I still would go back to the external, like when it was over, and all day be there until like I maybe meditated at night. So yeah, I wasn't shifting and changing all along the way and changing the subconscious comfort zone as much as I could have
Right.
if I had been checking in all, you know, all day and
Right.
been
Right.
in tune with the body the rest of the day.
What is it, just through practice, or what sort of prompts you now to check in with yourself? Is it just something you know to be doing fairly regularly, or is there something that sort of prompts you to, oh, I should stop what I'm doing and check in right now? What's sort of your method there?
Yeah, actually now it's pretty automatic, but I mean, I learned that from Thais, from the needs course. From
Right.
like start checking in with yourself every few hours and noticing how you feel, noticing what you need.
Right.
And so, yeah, now that's become more of a habit. And now I just notice kind of when my feelings or my emotions change, I just automatically take notice of them. And I'll
Right.
kind of
Right.
how I feel in the body, notice how I'm feeling that, and then just kind of ask myself, like, what do you need right now?
Right. Right. So kind of like a stop what you're doing moment. There's something to be looked at here. There's maybe a need that needs to be filled. Right.
Exactly.
That's great. Okay. So we like to leave guests. We're nearing the end of the podcast today. And thank you, Renee, for being here. Just a couple more questions for you. We love to leave guests with maybe like a tool or a tip or maybe a perspective. Is there something you want to share with our audience of something that can help them lead a more fulfilling life?
Yeah. So I would say definitely if you're an anxious preoccupied, start noticing how you feel and noticing that you have needs. And you could just start by doing something simple, just noticing how you feel, like set a little alarm on your phone, maybe a few times a day, just check in with yourself and be like, how do I feel right now? Is there something I need to feel better? Is there a different thought I could think to feel better? Like maybe something's, you know, maybe you're having an unhealthy thought. You could just check in, like, what's the next best thought that I could have? That's one thing that I think would be really great. And also noticing your body, like when you have that feeling, just kind of checking, like, where do I feel that in my body? And going within the body and noticing. So I think that's a great place to start, just getting in tune with yourself. Journaling is great. Just, yeah, putting your thoughts on paper so you know what you're thinking, feeling, just getting to know yourself.
That's really great. I love that. How
Thank
many
you.
times have you checked in with yourself during this interview? Is it time for a check-in?
Only once.
Only once? Okay, that's good.
I usually would say I do it like 3-4 times a day. Like I just kind of notice like during the day. Yeah, but I've been kind of in flow, not really feeling anything off as we've been talking. So it's been kind of fun.
Perfect, perfect. I have that effect on people.
Yes, you do, Mike.
Okay, so just to give some sort of inspiration or some hope, I was hoping if you could share, if there's someone out there who maybe just did the test or they know that they're anxious, preoccupied, and they're like, this is too much. Like, there's no hope here. This is way too big of a thing to tackle. What would you say to them? Sort of what's on the other side of going into your sort of own healing journey and working on these things that need to be worked on? What can maybe they look forward to?
They can look forward to feeling a lot better for sure. If they do the work and just start getting to know themselves and being comfortable with themselves, your whole life will shift and change and you'll feel amazing. Like now, I used to never be able to be by myself. I spend a lot of time alone. I really enjoy it. It's just so peaceful and relaxing, and they can expect a big shift. I really believe that with all my heart, that they could. Their whole life will be better and improved, and they will feel comfortable in their skin. They'll feel grounded. They'll know what they need. They're going to interact with everyone differently. And it's just a great space to be in.
Wow. That's
definitely.
Lovely. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks. And I think everybody can do it. I was pretty extreme on the AP side. So I feel like if I can do that, that anyone that's an AP can do that.
Right. Right. Okay. So just want to know, like, what services are you offering these days? If somebody wanted to work with you or contact you, what sort of services are you offering at the moment?
Yeah, I'm doing integrated attachment theory coaching. I have worked with a lot of people with ADHD as well, but even just the integrated attachment theory of coaching is on my website, so they could reach me there. I love all the tools in PDS. We put together a program. I usually start with like a 12-week program, but you could do individual sessions as well.
That's great. And then how can people get in touch with you if they wanted to work with you on one-on-one coaching or any other method? What's the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me, I'll give my email, and the website is livingyourbestlife11@wixsite.com. And then my email is renee333sessions@gmail.com.
Perfect. And we'll put all those in the show notes if anybody wants to reach out to Renee. Also, just to let everybody know, if you want to see more of Renee, as we mentioned, she teaches the emotional resilience routine twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays. She's also at every PDS live webinar. There's three a week. And she also hosts a few of the webinar after socials. So within PDS, we have a really great community. After the live webinars, we meet up and people can share. They can support each other. They can share what they learned in the webinar that day, or just sort of process anything they're going through at the moment. But it's really great. We have all different attachment styles healing together, and you can connect with like-minded people. So yeah, definitely, if you want to try Personal Development School out, we have a 7-day free trial at the moment. You could try out Renee's routines and come see all the other beautiful stuff happening within the school. Okay, is there anything else? Did we covered quite a bit today, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. No, it's great. It's a great, PDS is a great community for support when you're going through something too. The post webinars, you can connect with people. So yeah, you should definitely give it a try. We'd love to see you.
Awesome. Okay, Renee, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it. I know I'll be seeing you very soon. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your day.